Okay, so the last several weeks we've been talking about poetry, we've been talking about all kinds of different ways that you can analyze the Psalms, different poetic devices and ways you can pick them up and look at and see and go through them all, and that's all really kind of interesting. It's pretty fascinating how you can kind of tear apart all the Psalms and you know, look at them in that fashion. And I think it's really good because I think it can be a really good study tool. I think you can use those concepts and look at the Psalms and look at each one, look at each verse, look at passages or groups of them in those different fashions, and you could glean more information out of them possibly, and it could just enrich your study. So I think that's all real good. There's one other thing I kind of wanted to talk about in regard to that, and that's actually a little bit more general and a little bit more generic. I mean, we were getting pretty specific. I mean, look at this A and this B and this B and this A and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But just kind of a little more general and looking at Psalms as, in one fashion, like we should, as a student. Okay? I am a student in college, in a class, looking at Psalms. How does that work? Okay, we should all be that all the time, thinking of it that we are learning, we are students, specifically of the Psalms. So what are some of the things that you should look for? And this is why I'm saying this is really general, because it applies not to just the Psalms, to any of our studies in any of the books, in any of the chapters, in any of the verses, New Testament, Old Testament, regardless. You know, so as a student of the Scriptures, and it applies to the Psalms, how should we do that? How should we look? How should we, I mean, what are some ideas? I know that's a throw-it-out question. You haven't even thought about it for even 30 seconds yet. But, you know, as you study the Bible, what do you do? As you study a passage, what do you do? What are you thinking about? Richard?
Take one of the adjustments in our lives that are part of
okay. So as a student of the Scriptures, a student of the Psalms, we want to see how we can apply it to our lives personally and then get it back out there, right, and put it back out there.
Yep. In order to do that, you kind of need to understand the original audience first.
Okay.
And kind of the context
okay.
In which it was written.
So again, in just big general terms, we need to look at the context, we need to look at the audience to whom it was originally written, you know, and look at those kinds of things and see what we can glean from that and really have a good understanding of the passage. That applies to the Psalms specifically.
I think we need to realize that it is the author.
Mm-hmm.
The
okay.
author is conveying something.
Yes.
And so who is that author?
Mm-hmm. So we need to know who's written it.
But the power behind that, even though it was David or
right.
other men that wrote it, the power is God.
Yes.
And so these words
right.
are different from a novel we would read or a poem mm-hmm. we would read.
Yes.
Because
yes.
they come from a power that's trying to convey something to us.
Yes. We always need to, any passage we're reading, Psalm specifically tonight, have that in mind. This is God speaking to us through these writers, so it has special import at all times. And we always got to remember that. Carly?
Well, and to me, the underlying thing is God is telling me how much he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
it bolsters
right.
my love back for him.
And so when we, our next section of study in the Psalms is going to be looking at types of Psalms. So if this is a psalm of adoration to God, this is God telling me, I mean, it's kind of reverse logic, if you will, but he's telling me how to adore him.
Yes.
You know, he's telling me how to do something here. Yes. Other thoughts?
I think it's interesting that the very first psalm says, in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate night and day. So he's kind of sets
the whole tone.
The whole tone for all of these psalms, whether they're songs or poems or praise.
Yep.
This is what it's all about: meditating and putting God's law
right
in your heart.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Some other things that I wrote down to think about. I had thought of talking about determine who the speaker is, who's the author. God inspired this author. So, yeah, we kind of talked about that. One we didn't talk about yet is this psalm that we're going to look at a personal psalm or a corporate psalm? Is the psalmist speaking on his own behalf, or is he speaking on behalf of all of Israel? Okay? Remember the context and when it was written, etc. So is the psalmist penning something like David about David, or is the psalmist penning something that is about all of Israel? You know, Lord grant Israel X, Y, what have you. So I think that could also be important as we study the passages. The purpose. What is the purpose behind that psalm? I think it was kind of what we talked about, understanding what it is and getting it and applying it to ourselves. You know, what is its actual purpose? What is it actually trying to convey to us? When we're talking about the Psalms, I think it's good as we go through the rest of our lessons to talk about the types of Psalms. Okay? Psalms, when we look at these, can be broken into different, various types. I mean, there's laments. Okay? There's you know, praise, glorifying God, you know, sorrow. There's different types of psalms. And I think that also can help us as we're studying it, because here's an overriding general theme to what this particular passage is saying. And then when you're looking at the psalms, I think another thing I thought of was reoccurrence. Okay, when you're reading a psalm, quite often you will find a line, and then that same line, and then that same line, and then that same line. You know, so there's a phrase or a concept or a thought that the psalmist is emphasizing, right? Because he repeated it five times. That must be important. Maybe I ought to think about that. You know, so I think that can be very helpful too as we're studying. Anything else you can think of that kind of, again, just big, broad, general, you know, that helps us as we're studying. Okay. So the rest of tonight, I wanted to talk, we're going to shift now into looking at different types of psalms. We kind of were studying how to break them down and the poetic different devices and things like that. But now you can also then look at the psalms in just big groupings, big categories of types, like we just mentioned. So that's what we're going to do for the next several odd lessons, is look at types of psalms. So the first one we want to look at that I picked out is psalms of adoration. Okay? There's whole groupings of psalms of adoration. So tossing it out to you guys, what do you think adoration is all about? A psalm of adoration. Again, just general. Not a specific psalm, but just in general. What do you think a psalm of adoration is going to be about? Any ideas?
Well, it's praise to God.
Okay.
Expressing that person's feelings.
Okay.
For his creator.
Right. And I'd also tack on to that another word, joy.
Yes.
Okay. I would tack that in there too with your description that this is, you know, the psalmist expressing joy over, you know.
Isn't it about proclaiming the attributes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you adore them and you say how powerful and how merciful.
And usually what he's centered around is around creation or God's law. Those two main themes, yes. Yes. So when you're talking about a psalm of adoration, they're usually focused on, you know, the joy in the light of God's creation and the joy in the light of God's governing law, okay? And expressing that joy. I mean, think about that. The joy of the law Okay, they were given a law to govern themselves. You know, to God to govern them through the law. I mean, that was a radical concept. So there was joy in that. Yes? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting too, because you can take these groups of psalms and you can say these are psalms of adoration. Later on, we'll talk about some that are actually about thanksgiving, but yet they're all the same, and they intertwine, and they're intertwined, and you can put this one in that bucket and this one in that bucket, and, you know. It all works. But you're right. When you talk about joy, they are tied together, aren't they? I mean, they really should be. We should be so thankful. We should be of people of thanksgiving. So there's this element of joy. There's this element of declaring praise, you know, just declaring the praises of God. So there'll be exhortations to praise. There'll be declaration of God's blessedness. You'll see phrases in these types of psalms that are like descriptions of distress, even that, you know, I cried about this, and so now there's joy because God has done this to alleviate it, or he cried, and then that's followed by he, God, answered, and he did, and he took care of, or, you know, a description of salvation. So there'll be, you know, you'll think, oh, this is a song of adoration, but why is he still talking about I cried and I'm worried and I'm this and I'm that? Well, because God has come in and fixed, and therefore it brings joy and praise. Declarations of trust are big in these types of psalms. You know, trusting in God, trusting in the Lord. Okay? Praising God and trusting in Him. So those are kind of some of the big pieces that kind of fall into Psalms of Adoration, which then brings us to kind of taking a look at a few of these, okay? And then talking about them a little bit. So this is where we head over to Psalm chapter 8 that I mentioned earlier. So Psalms chapter 8. 9 verses of a declarative praise of adoration, of joy to the Lord, to the glory of the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name in all the earth. So, okay, Psalm 8. What does that say to you? How do you see that? What do you know, any thoughts on that psalm? What really strikes you about that? Jerry?
How big this universe is, and how he is the creator of all of it. Mm-hmm. And it's immense, and how he makes known his glory and all this sort of thing.
Right.
But what affects me is there in verse 4, when you get down to, all right, how big is this universe? Our sun is just a star in all this whole world, and how puny this earth is around that sun, how puny we are upon this earth. And so he comes back to a very obvious question, which I think we all need. What is man?
Yeah.
I mean, who are we so puny and tiny?
Why are you mindful of us? Yeah.
This one passage
We see a lot of the Psalms quoted in the New Testament. But yes, Hebrews.
How big all this is, and yet how small we are, yet God has sent His Son to die for us.
And doesn't that just create joy in your heart? I mean, think about that. How infinitesimal we are in the scheme of the entire universe that He created. That man is only now discovering how vast it is. And yet He's worried about you and me. He's worried about me. That's incredible. That should bring massive amounts of joy to our hearts. And a joy that needs to be put out there. Yes.
That God had created everything.
Yep.
And that He had put man in charge of everything. And you think, now how did David understand all of that? And so we think we give such little credit to their intellectual abilities.
Right.
Of that.
How smart they were.
How smart they were.
Or not.
Yeah. I mean, they understood so much more than what we want to think, and the way that God communicated.
Yeah, and when you think about it today, we think they didn't know hardly anything, but they understood God. And today, we think we know everything, and we don't understand God. I mean, in general, in the world. You know, we try to understand God. So, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. And you're right. We don't give them the credit that is due them in their intellectual ability in understanding God. Yeah. And that, again, is just joyous. And thankfulness, yes, tied together. Yeah, Mike. Right.
He is expressing that magnitude of awe and understanding.
Of the creation and what God had put in place here. Yeah, for us, like you mentioned. Other thoughts on Psalm 8? Yeah, Richard.
The verse 6,
doesn't get it, does he?
Yeah, mankind didn't give it.
Right.
Over here.
And again, here the psalmist is expressing joy and adoration over the fact that God has put us there, in that place. Yeah. Yeah. And then, Cliff.
Well, I think it brings out the point too that we've talked about before, that David was a man after God's own heart, and the thing that he expresses here. Show his love and his determination to try to serve God to the very best of the abilities that he has, and to express to him how much he appreciates what God has done for him, but also the insignificance that he plays in the whole role of all the things that God has set in place.
The universe,
that, you know, you've given us all the world as ours to monitor and take
the
care
man,
of
yeah,
and
manage.
Possess.
Yeah.
But you
to be a steward of. Yes. Yeah, amazing. You know, and again, the joy that is being expressed because of all of that. But,
I guess I see this mostly as a declaration of faith.
Yeah.
In David, because all these things that he mentions here, all Israel should know this. This is is not new. The David
Correct.
Is not new to them.
It no.
But what
should
it
not
does
have been.
Is it just reinforces his faith in saying, I believe, Lord, I believe exactly what you have given to us, what's been written down, you know, what we
yeah.
study and look at. And so he's making that affirmation in
mm-hmm.
this particular instance here and just
yeah.
laying it all out there and saying,
and then we get to read that he did, and we can see what he was saying, and we can take that. Yeah. Great. Other thoughts? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Doesn't that just kind of sum it up? You know, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You know, I guess you could put universe there too. Okay, what about chapter 19? Let's take a look at that one. This is also a psalm of adoration. This is also one of praise, an expression of joy. Talking about creation, talking about, you know, the, you know, just declaring the glory of God and the perfect law of the Lord and stuff. So let's look at Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. So can anybody read that and not have the song play in their head? It just starts in my head when I start going through that. It just happens. And I think that's good too. Verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Okay, Psalm 19. Psalm 19. What are some of your thoughts on that one? Again, a song of adoration, a psalm of expression of joy, a declaration of God and his law and the glory of God. Cliff.
I like all this, you know, I love this psalm.
Mm.
And one of the reasons I really like it is that he paints a picture with words.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so vivid. And you can just, you can compare and you can see things.
Yeah.
The way he sees them. But also the way you can see the way God has created things. And I love the way he kind of personifies, you know, the idea that the firmament and all these they're speaking to us.
Yeah.
And I just love that.
Constantly, at all times. All you got to do is listen. See it and listen. Yeah. Yep. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Other thoughts about Psalm 19? Yeah, Richard.
My favorite verse here is verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Yeah.
The eloquence of man, the beauty of man can produce. None of that is going to have the effect of the law of the Lord. Our mission, of course, is to be transformed by it ourselves. But try to emphasize to people who think religion is out here in some
And isn't that just so simple too? Isn't it just so simple? The law of the Lord is perfect. Do I need to say anything else? You know, psalmist, you know, does he need to say anything else? The law of the Lord is perfect. You know, it's perfect. Yeah. Other thoughts on Psalm 19? What strikes you in that psalm? Other than, of course, we start singing a song in our heart when we read it. But you just kind of can't if you've sung that song enough. Yeah, Sue.
Well, David actually, when he talks about the creation, he talks about God's hands.
Yeah.
His fingers,
hands. Yeah. Kind of remind you of some of the things we were talking about before in the past previous weeks, these different poetic devices that you can see in the Psalms, and here's some great examples of those. Yeah. And I like that too. He's talking about, you know, here is God. He is real. His hand did this. His voice did this. Yeah. Becky. It just kind of leads you into it.
Yeah, and it's like David expounding on wisdom, saying, I was designed as a master craftsman, I was dating this, like, you know, whiskers could be really cool and have been here forever. And,
yeah. And it is really interesting how you can make a lot of connections between the Proverbs and the Psalms and the Psalms and the Proverbs. Mike, did you have a thought? Or you looked like you had a thought.
Well, I was thinking it's interesting, the transitions that it starts out in this first section, and it talks about the firmament shows the days, mm-hmm. the utter speech, the night reveals knowledge. Everything we see tells us something about God.
Right.
And so he says, here's things that you know about God. And then he transitions.
Like you.
Yeah, and I need you to help me.
To help me get there.
To get there. And to know, does that mean I can get it myself?
Yeah.
Kind of tagging on to that, he asks for help to get past these sins, and he believes about his heart that that can happen.
Right. He believes that he has sinned. He believes he needs the help, and he believes it's going to come. He's going to get the help. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, the word, I mean, pure, clean, true are all positive comments. Mm-hmm. Gold, in its refined state, is pure.
Sure.
Honeycomb, when you have a pure honeycomb. You have good honey. I mean, and so there are things that when he talks about, those are all positive attributes, not only of God, but of things that we enjoy because of God.
Right.
But I think it's interesting that he uses those positive pieces.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
yeah.
When we think of them, we look at them as positive.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, finishes. Yeah. Everything. So, other thoughts on Psalm 19?
Well, as Jeff was saying, talking about the gold and the honey, those are luxuries of life. So more than the luxuries and the wonderful things of life is to be desired God's law.
Yeah. Yep. No matter what you can get here, it's nothing compared to his law. Right? And you can have the best on this planet, and it's nothing compared to his law. Yeah. Excellent, excellent.
That lottery tonight, and it won't buy you heaven.
It will not. Not at all. You're just going to be a buck poorer. Okay, any other thoughts on Psalm 19? Strong, powerful, praise, adoration, joy, you know, God's creation, his law. Okay, I wanted to look at, you know, we're running out of time, we'll see how much we can do here, but I wanted to look at 104. And we are definitely not going to get through all of 104. We're going to run out of time, so maybe we'll do this in two halves, maybe. But Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chamber in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels, spirits, his ministers, a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, and at your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains, they went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great, there the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. That's a longer psalm. I understand that. And there's actually a lot of things in there to talk about. And the second bell just rang, so we're not going to get to talk about any of it. But we did get to read it. And that's a blessing. So, let's talk about 104 next week. Also, look at, I'll jot these down, 11, 16, 23. 11, 16, 23. There's a group of them I want to talk about. Some more songs of adoration, but of a different type, if you will. We'll also try to squeak in, we'll see how many we can get through, chapter 46 and chapter 62. So we'll see if we can grab those also. So 11, 16, 23, 46, and 62. Okay? So take a look at those. We'll read them again in class because obviously there's always a benefit for that. Because you can never wear them out. And we'll talk about those. So, okay. Thank you all. Yeah, Mike?
For us, read these.
11. 11, 16, 23, 46, and 62, please. Okay? Thanks.